Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Does it make you angry when people talk about, you know, Sean Penn, the Hollywood star, the movie star, coming in and trying to do something and they're kind of cynical about it?
No, it's just in this, I guess I've been so away from it all in our tent camp in Haiti that I haven't had an awful lot of time to pay attention to them. Do I hope that those people die screaming of rectal cancer? Yeah. You know, but I'm not going to spend a lot of energy on it.
1, 2, 3, hey. Look at Mr. Lee. 3, 4, 5, hey. Look at him, John, Mr. Lee.
Now, I don't know who Sean Penn's proctologist is, but there is a saying from the 60s, what goes around comes around. And I, for one, hope that he doesn't get what he wished on others. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Play the music. What do I care what he gets? Oh, turn the music off, actually. Now I want to say something about it. Who was that moron on that show on CBS who thought that was funny? She should be fired. CBS should be fined by the FCC for permitting this vile, despicable fraud to wish rectal cancer on his political opponents. But then CBS is, you know, contemporary Bolshevik, you know what S stands for. And so we'd expect nothing less from Hollywood leftists than to wish such illnesses upon people. What's amazing to me is that my words over the years have been twisted and taken out of context by Soros-related hit machines, resulting in my being banned from Britain when clearly here Penn says he hopes critics of his get rectal cancer. And of course, because of that, I'm sure he's welcomed in England. I would think the socialists of England would welcome Sean Penn for wishing rectal cancer upon the enemies of socialism. Anyway, that's not the biggest story. The biggest story really is on michaelsavage.com. People say that talk radio is just hot air. People say that talk radio is repetitive. People say that talk radio is not where the intellectuals reside. People say talk radio has no new ideas. They're all lying. Because I've come up with an idea that nobody in the entire world has come up with. I've seen it nowhere. And I'm not going to bore you with five long pages on my suggestion that you use religious freedoms to challenge Obamacare. You can read about it on michaelsavage.com. I wish you would read the entire rationale for suing Obama and the government once they force socialized medicine down on America. You can sue them under the Religious Freedoms Clause of the U.S. Constitution, Bill of Rights, and you can win. We've got to take all the tactics of the scum left, which is to flood them with lawsuits. Think of what would happen if a million of you sued the federal government saying that they're forcing you to buy health care or abridged your religious freedom. You know, I brought this idea up last Wednesday, and I read it on the air. It was my idea. It's original. Didn't find it anywhere because I create more original ideas in one day than anyone else does in a year on talk radio. I came up with the idea. It's a great idea. You know what I found out yesterday during my day off? You know what I found out? You know what I found out? Do you know what I found out yesterday? I am so smart that the Obama administration lawyers had anticipated being sued by Christian Scientists and others to opt out of the Obamacare that they gave them a pass. Did you know that Obamacare has already accommodated Christian Scientists and the Amish, saying to them, you do not have to buy a government medical plan because it violates your religion. So, that's how smart they are, right? If they can make exceptions for Christian Scientists and the Amish, and rightly so, by the way, let us find other religious groups that will need exceptions from Obamacare. And let's flood the system with lawsuits until eventually there will be so many people exempted from the system that the government will not be able to pay for it. And, of course, then only the illegal aliens will be forced to buy Obamacare. Now, let's think about the possibilities. Will religious Jews be forced to pay for medical care on Saturday, the Jewish Sabbath, the day on which they're not allowed to receive medical care? Well, they could sue and say they only want to pay a sixth less or one-seventh less because they're not even entitled to medical care. They can't go on Saturday. So we're going to, every religious Jew in America sues the government and says, okay, tell you what we're going to do. We're suing. You're violating our religious beliefs. Will Obamacare pay for religious circumcision for Jewish families? Well, you could say, well, will they pay for circumcision? That would cover it. No, I didn't say circumcision. Because they have given a religious exemption to Christian Scientists, they should be forced to pay for the Manischewitz wine, the bad cake, maybe even travel to the Bris in order to accommodate Orthodox Jewish families. Now, what about Muslims? Are they able to opt out of the Obamacare for some religious reasons? I don't know. I know that Muslims are not supposed to be in the presence of alcohol. Does this mean that Muslims may elect to opt out of Obamacare because the hospital contains alcohol swabs? You see, the possibilities are endless. What other religious exemptions do you think you might be able to use to avoid Obama's socialized medical plan? Now, I think we have to act quickly and line these lawsuits up because Obama's shoving this through the Senate as we speak. Obama's nuclear option flies in the face of over 200 years of Senate tradition. He will try to get only 51 votes instead of 60. Now, you know, this flies in the face of the intent of the Constitution. I know that this so-called method called reconciliation has been used 40 times or so in the past. I've heard that. However, it has never been used to push a program of this size onto the electorate. Never. And if it's such a good program, why does Obama have to revert to such a bad method of getting it? Let me repeat that. If Obama's socialized medical plan is so wonderful and so fair, why does he have to revert to banana republic-like tactics, something you'd expect from Chavez, in order to get it through the Senate? If it's so wonderful, why not open it up to the entire Senate? The answer is because it's not so good. The answer is because most Americans oppose it. The answer is because grifters and illegal aliens want it. The answer is because America hates it. The answer is because he's used to getting his way. The answer is because he's a narcissist and it's about him. It's not even about America. The answer is he's got to be stopped, and the answer is you can do it. How can you do it? I'm telling you how. You sue the government when they force you to buy a medical plan. You sue it on religious grounds. You say, well, come on, Mike. I'm not a Christian Scientist. I'm not Amish. Oh, really? Well, what religion are you? I can guarantee you that by the time the show is over today, we'll have 2 to 3 new ideas from people who call the show, the smartest audience in America, and you will tell me what angle you would use as a lawyer or as just a thinking person. You could be a plumber for all I care. Tell me what in your religion could be used to permit you to opt out of Obamacare. I'm sure there are many, many, many ways to do this. And as I say, we must learn from our loyal opposition. Our loyal opponents, the socialist communist left, have found many methods to destroy America's borders, language, and culture. The primary method they have used is to continue to flood the courts with lawsuits. Look at the venomous ACLU, what they do for a living. They overwhelm the system with fallacious lawsuits in order to bring it all down, girl. So I say what's good for the goose is good for the gander. I say bring it all down, girl. And I say bring it on, boy. And I say sue him, and sue him again. I say get a lawyer. I say every Tea Party in America, you put your heads together. Don't be distracted. Be organized. Put your heads together. Don't just go out with 500 different signs and programs. You want to stop Obamacare? They're going to pass it whether you want it or not. That's the way Chicago works. That's the way Argentina works. That's the way Brazil works. That's the way banana republics work. But it's not the way America works. We the people have all the power. How do you reverse it on them? Turn it on them. Sue them. Sue them under the Religious Freedom Clause of the Bill of Rights. You have a right to practice your religion as you see fit. It's one of the last sacred areas in this country. You know it and I know it. Now they're trying to say, well, you have to buy Obamacare. Well, what if you don't want it because your religion doesn't permit you to use modern medicine? Well, that's what they said is okay. They said, Christian scientists, you don't believe in using modern medicine. We accept that because they, of course, have to give them an out or they would have lost in the Supreme Court. So they're allowing them out and they're allowing the Amish out. I found the data over the last day. So, again, what if you are a Catholic? What if you are a Buddhist? What if you are a Muslim? What if you are a Hindu? Are there precepts in your religion that you can think of before you call the show today that might be used in a legal brief to force the government to grant you the same exemption that they're granting to Christian scientists? Because remember, they cannot discriminate based upon religion. And so if they've already given an out to Christian scientists and to the Amish, which they have done so, I've read the papers, then we have an opening, we have a way. We have the third way. We're going to use the tactics of the left to defeat the left. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Heavenly shades of night are falling. It's twilight time. Out of the mist, your voice is calling. It's twilight time.
Isn't that sweet? When purple colors. Reminiscences on the Savage Nation. End of day. What is the name, ladies? Together. Proof got haircuts, peg pants, 57 Chevys, hot dogs, hamburgers, beer. A president, we knew where he was born. Unbelievable. Look what happened to this country in a few decades. Take a look. Look around what happened from 50 years of liberalism. Take a look at it. Take a look at your country. Take a good look around from letting the ACLU run wild in the streets. They should be arrested as a subversive organization, their assets seized, and they should be deported. Other than that, I have no opinion on the ACLU. 1-800-449-8255. But of all the dangerous groups, they're about the most dangerous. Now, what do you want to talk about? I give you an idea on healthcare, how to defeat it, and I get no callers. You're flooding the lines now about abortion. Don't call anymore on abortion. First of all, I want to thank all of you Catholics for saying we can use abortion as a pretext to get out of this because we don't believe in abortion. You can't force us to comply with a plan that pays for abortion. That's a very valid point of view, by the way. And it is a tact and a tactic, by the way, that may work in the courts because if they've already given an out to Christian scientists, which I understand they have, and to the Amish, you have a hook. But there are other ways. Thank you. Don't call on the abortion anymore. That would be like somebody saying, I believe in UFOs and I want my friend from Jupiter to be included. And if he's not included, you know, my religion is UFOism or something. So I know we're going to have a rash of lawsuits on this. And eventually it's going to find its way to the Supreme Court. And assuming the Constitution of the Supreme Court is what it is today, they're going to lose. And the end result is going to be exactly what happened to FDR when he overreached. Exactly what Louis Brandeis remarked is going to be remarked to Obama when Brandeis said, this is the end of this business of centralization, and I want you to go back and tell the president that we're not going to let this government centralize everything. The same message will be sent to Obama. He will be stopped. Now, at that time, FDR was stopped by a few Jewish kosher butchers. The case is amazing, the Schechter brothers. I wrote it up. It's on michaelsavage.com. You don't even have to be Jewish to read it and print it. That's a takeoff on the, remember the ad in the subways? Whatever your religion is, it doesn't matter. You could be an atheist and read it. You should go to my website and print it. You should go to my website and print it. I have an announcement. I can't help but wanting to say this. I don't want to make it a whole big deal, but I'm on a local station in San Francisco. As you know, the big powers banned me. The big powers conspired to take me off the air in San Francisco. And I was off for a few months. But given that I am an immigrant son, I found a way on the air. And I'm now on a 50,000-watt blowtorch called Extra Sports 860. And I'm on every afternoon, right? They love me. I'm the only talker on the station. The rest is all sports. I'm not a sports fan, but I'm getting all new listeners who basically love an underdog. Sports fans love an underdog. And they understand that in sports, as in politics, either you're safe or you're out. So they're listening to me. But listen to what's happening now. they're rerunning my show in the mornings now, 6 to 9 a.m., so I'm on twice a day. Can you imagine what's going on in the Uber liberal socialist Bay Area, that drivers in the Bay Area are going to hear me morning and afternoon? It's unbelievable to me. I finally had a reason to get up this morning, which is to listen to myself from the other day. It was fabulous. I'm the only one worth listening to. Well, look, if you're in the business, you got to believe in yourself. That's all. Anyway, it's on my website again, that release, Savage plus Savage, a perfect double play. I'm very happy with it. Why? Because I can listen to myself all day long now. The only hours that are bad are between morning drive and afternoon drive when I'm not on somewhere. You know, there's a story that I think it was Aristotle used to walk around ancient, it could have been Plato, I don't remember, but one of the two big Greeks, walked around Athens and stopped strangers to give them his opinion on things. He was so anxious to be heard. That's because there was no radio in those days. If Plato were alive today, he'd be on in the time slot I'm in, and I have real trouble, but I'm the next best thing to Plato. So who was the interlocutor to Plato? The kid, the slave boy. Slave boy, why is it that you know mathematics when you're an ignorant fool who had no education? Well, master, I guess because I am a reincarnated being. Yes, slave boy, that's exactly correct. Because this proves that in a past life you knew mathematics, and although you have been reborn as a slave boy, in fact, your soul is eternal, and in a previous life you knew mathematics. Listen, I read Playboy in mathematics, in case you don't know it. I know the accent sounds like a plumber. That's just because I speak and sound like a blue-collar guy. That's fine. But watch out who you're messing with if you try to get over on me, Buster. I read Plato, and I read Plato in mathematical formulae. So just watch your step if you think I don't know what I'm talking about. I've got the best ideas in talk radio, which is how I've survived for 15 years. By the way, this month, I started in 94. You want to do quick math? Prove to me you're not a slave boy. If I started in 94, and this March is 2010, anyone could tell you that's how many years in radio. Whoever gets the correct answer, don't call my show because it's very simple mathematics. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation on, well, here I am.
Savage.
Does it make you angry when people talk about, you know, Sean Penn, the Hollywood star, the movie star, coming in and trying to do something, and they're kind of cynical about it?
No, it's just in this, I guess I've been so away from it all in our tent camp in Haiti that I haven't had an awful lot of time to pay attention to. Do I hope that those people die screaming of rectal cancer? Yeah. You know, but I'm not going to spend a lot of energy.
CBS should be given a fine and be taken off the air. Shame on you, Les Moonves, for this, for letting this vermin wish rectal cancer on his political opponents. Shame on CBS. There's an article that is not related to this, but it could be, on my website from the Daily News. It says, extra small condoms marketed to 12-year-olds in Switzerland. And looking at these extra small condoms on the website, that are called hot shots for boys as young as 12 years old. I was thinking of Sean Penn. I don't know quite how this fits yet, but I think that perhaps we should send them a present of this particular gift. 1-800-449-8255. The website looks so good, I'm shocked. I never saw anything like it. It's getting better. Here's one from Yakima, Washington. A little boy in kindergarten was thrown out because he made a gun with his hands. He did a gesture with his hands of a gun. They threw him out of the school. You hear this? That's your government at work? It's unbelievable to me. And here a bunch of spoiled brats at the University of California went on strike yesterday because they'll have to pay tuition. They have money enough for drugs. They have money enough to... They go and close down a highway and block the taxpayers. And you know what these damn stinking newspapers run today? A day of action! A day of direct action! Now you understand why the newspapers are worthless in the Bay Area. No one buys them. Day of action. a day of action, but the Tea Parties are not a day of action. Actual taxpayers, that's not action. You want real action? You mean closing down freeways? That's your idea of what will get your attention? You vermin in the newspaper business? All of you deserve to lose your jobs. Every last one of you should be in the cafes collecting crazy checks. Everyone who writes for the San Francisco Chronicle, you should be in cafes collecting crazy checks. That's all you're worthy of. You morons, you. You glorify these spoiled brats blocking a highway because they have to pay tuition. You schmucks, and you put down the Tea Party activists because they actually pay taxes. Where the hell are your heads, you idiots, you? No wonder no one reads your garbage. No wonder a show like mine is thriving twice a day in the Bay Area. Why do you think I'm on twice a day? If you schmucks ran a newspaper that had a scintilla of truth in it, they'd be buying your paper instead of listening to me, you morons. That's what I'd like to say, but look, I only have a radio show. I can't say it. Play rock and roll. I'm burning too hot here. It was too much for me. Oh yeah, it's my 16th anniversary coming up, March 20th. 16 years in radio. We're gonna celebrate on air March 20th. Well, it's a sad March 19th. Big party on the air. If you can't, of course. Barbara Lee, who is one of the most left-wing social, I think she's an overt socialist, one of the looniest, most dangerous psychos I've ever seen in the history of the Congress, turn that off, has said that Obama strongly supports the public option. Obama said the current healthcare legislation is the beginning, and he said he would work with us, meaning the socialist communist bloc of Congress, on the next effort, according to Rep. Barbara Lee. So you see, gradualism is the way communists take over a country. You're going to stop it. You're going to use your religious freedoms to sue them and sue them and sue them again on the religious clause of the Bill of Rights, and you're going to stop Obamacare. You may not stop it, but what if 10 million of you get the rights to opt out of it? Who's going to be left to pay for it? Why the high-risk patients who want it? Why the illegal aliens who are going to get it? Why all of the grifters who want you to have it? They're going to be the ones who are going to have to foot the bill. You know, hanging by their own petard, my friends. How come no one's calling me on this? What's wrong with you? Zach in Houston, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Savage, you're one of my heroes, actually. I think you're the greatest philosopher of the 21st century, in my opinion.
Wow. Well, yeah, I wouldn't say the greatest. I would say next to the greatest. But go on, please. My dog is actually the greatest philosopher. Teddy is. He's a great psychiatrist, too.
I'm glad you're on twice a day in the Bay Area now. I'm from the Bay Area. I live in Houston now, but I know how it is out there with all the liberals. One thing I wanted to talk about was I'm against the Obamacare completely, but I don't think adding lawsuits into the system will help anything. I think it will make it worse.
Let me explain something to you. In principle, I oppose lawsuits, but there are good lawsuits and bad lawsuits. There are lawsuits which are not conducted for personal gain, and that's what this is. In other words, this is not just creating a lawsuit in order to jam up the system for no good reason. This is creating millions of lawsuits in order to get the attention of the government because they don't listen to anybody else. If the left has done this for 40 straight years to force things down our throat that we all oppose, why don't we do it?
That's true, but then we're lowering ourselves to their standards. The ACLU is a vile organization that needs.
Well, what you don't understand, the ACLU uses the courts in order to impose things on people. We are going to use the courts to get the government stopping imposing on us. It's the exact opposite. Zach, think it through. It's the exact opposite. Use the courts. Defeat them with their own courts. That's all. You don't want to talk about it. I don't even want to talk then. I'm going to filibuster my listeners. So let's have some rock and roll while we're playing. So let's have some more rock and roll, and I'm going to filibuster my callers. I don't want to talk about anything else other than this for now. That's all. Unless you want to talk about baby condoms for Sean Penn or which proctologist he might be going to or made a statement like that. Who is this? Turn now, come on. Play Darling You Send Me by Sam Cooke. If you're going to play Sam Cooke, it has to be Darling You Send Me. That was a song I danced to as a child. At least I dreamed I danced to it once. This was nice. This brings back many a memory on the Savage Nation. You want a little free association here? Sam Cooke, Darling, You Send Me. Coming home from high school, pumping iron outside in the backyard under a porch in the snow, lifting weights so I would no longer be the 28-pound weakling that was kicked around on the beach with sand in his face. I remember when I first picked up weights at 16, how it revolutionized my life. What a feeling it was to pick up. In those days, they were really ugly, the barbells. I mean, they were iron, cast iron, like in Pittsburgh. Remember what weights were like in those days? I mean, it was no messing around. There was no colored weights. There was no plastic. When you put them down, it chipped the concrete. The neighbor's house felt it. When you put the thing down, it was like, bang, went the... You work out in the snow, like the ice of New York outside the garage. That was a barbell. That was a barbell. But the feeling in your body when you first... You remember what it was like the first time, the first barbell experience in your life? How your arms felt tight. You looked at yourself in the mirror after a few days. You thought you were bigger already. It was all psychological. Amazing. Amazing stuff. Anyway, here we are. Look at years later what this steroids have wrought. Look at California under Schwarzenegger. I mean, it's one thing to work out with barbells. It's another thing to use chemicals and wind up with a grotesque mentality to go with the arms. Did I tell you about the time Al tried to knock me over in the American Health Studios? You don't know that story? Look, it's Friday. I'm going to lighten up a bit. So here I am, the skinny kid who picks up weightlifting. It's about 2 years later, and I want to really get into it. So I join the American Health Studios, one of the first barbell gyms. It was under the elevated train on Jamaica Avenue. Train. Go into the thing. It had mirrors. This was amazing. It was no longer that sweaty, ugly gym. This was a class joint. You know, that protein pills, mirrors. So I'd go there after school, 3-4 days a week. And I was still a skinny kid. I mean, I was a skinny guy. And in the gym, there was this guy, Al, who had been weightlifting for years, and he had monster biceps. He was a short guy, but really the delts, the lats, the pecs, the glutes, the schmeng, the schmag, the schmendel, everything was gigantic and grotesque on the schmendrick. He could hardly walk. So he was like the king of the king of the realm. So here I am, the skinny kid. I'm working out. So they try to turn me into like the mascot. He figured he could push me around. So I'm working out. He comes over and he grabs me from behind to give me like a hug. You know, like it was friendly. It wasn't like he was being like hitting me or anything, but he was being a schmuck, in other words. He gave me a smother hug. I wriggled out of it. Somehow he wound up on his ass on the floor. The entire gym put their weights down, looked at him. He never again came near me. Was it judo? No, it was nothing. It was called slipping out of a schmuck's hold. I don't know what I did. What do I know? I think I developed it, now that I think about it, from all of the aunts that would grab you when you were young, like the aunts and uncles. Oh, how are you? And they would grab you, and they had, like, perfume that gave me migraines. So I learned how to like, wriggle out of the holds. Like, if you could break out of the hold of an aunt from Russia with perfume and foxtails on her, you're like, believe me, you can get out of a weightlifter's hold any day. No, I mean, think about it. They meant well. I mean, I love them. I love all my ancestors. I mean, they're all waiting for me. I know I'm going to meet them again, so I'm very careful what I say about them. Allegedly, they're all up there. They're all waiting. They know I'm joking around, don't mean anything by it. But, I mean, if you could break free of, like, ant whatever from Russia, remember what they smell like to this day, that cold? They come in the apartment, and they were like, everyone was cheerful and happy and young. And everyone was alive. God, what a different world it was. You know, when you're young, the world's so different. Well, because everyone around you was, first of all, they're living. That's number one. There were no funerals yet. And number two, they were young. I mean, they must have been in late 20s, 30s. Who remembers? I was a kid. And they had all had, like, perfume that induced migraines in me. I'm convinced of it. Perfume. They called it toilet water in those days. What perfume? Man, they come through the door. They smell like certain ethnic salesmen who sell cars here in the Bay Area. I don't want to raise the particular. Don't say I'm picking on anyone in particular. There are guys who sell cars here in the Bay Area. You go in the car, you have to take a shower for 2 days afterwards. It gets on your hands. I don't understand what they're wearing. It's like a special trick perfume from their ancient country. Where do they get it from? Why do men need cologne? Is what I'd like to know. Migraine. Women don't like that stuff. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Daddy's home.
Daddy's home to stay.
So the narcissist in chief, although he's hit a stone wall and he's trying to steamroll the socialized medicine down our throats, today the White House says they're trying to push through illegal immigrant legalization. You hear this? Now you say, why is he doing this? Is he out of touch with reality? No. He's very much in touch with the realities of the socialist communist agenda. This is how they do it. There's actually a plan. It was written. They wrote it. You want me to prove it? I will. I will. Okay, you want to see the papers, which says flood the people, overwhelm them, keep pushing them, come up with one principle after another, push one plan after another, push one demand after another on the people till they break down. That's what Obama's doing. He's actually practicing the techniques that he learned at the foot of Marxists. One day you'll come to understand how far ahead of the curve I am. I know this is shocking to most of you because you don't do this for a living. You don't read what I read for a living. You don't have the time to do it. I do. That's why I have a talk show and you don't. That's why so many people have come to love the Savage Nation. That's right. How about old him, the guy from New York, Rangel? Another wonderfully uncorrupt, clean guy. Nancy Pelosi promised the cleanest Congress in history that she'd drain the swamp. Creature from the Black Lagoon is going to drain the swamp. Oh, yeah, she's going to clean the swamp up. Democrats mired in swamp they vowed to drain. You hear this? True, I mean, Republicans were corrupt. I was the only one on the air criticizing them for 8 straight years and the conservative side. There's 2 other articles. I'm exhausted from already telling you, so we won't do it anymore. Obama court pick says the Constitution must adapt to the culture. This jerk with a law degree believes the Constitution is something judges can manipulate to have it say what they think culture or evolving standards of decency requires of it in a given day. That's the schmuck that Obama picked. You hear? That's who he picked for the court. Another goofball moron who went to probably a Bolt Law School. Another idiot. What else do I have for you? There's a lot on the website. I don't want to... What's this? Something new here. Oh, Kurt Wilders, who was banned from Britain, who was being sued by the illegitimate communists in the European Union at the behest of the Muslim fanatics who have taken over so many European parliaments. Gerd Wilders is on the course to become the prime minister of his native Netherlands. The leftist elite, he says, the leftist elite still believes in multiculturalism, coddling criminals, a European superstate, and high taxes. But the rest of the Netherlands thinks differently. Gerd Wilders, he's like a brother in arms. I had him on the show. When he becomes prime minister, isn't that going to be a kick? Standing up to the cultural elite of Holland? See, he represents the Holland that stood up to the Nazis. He represents the Holland that fought in the underground against the Nazis when it was taken over by Hitler. You don't understand it, but you liberals are on the wrong side of history. Especially you progressives. You are the neo-Nazis of today. You are the neo-Nazi swine of today, you so-called progressives. You are all fascists. You know it. If you don't get your way, you riot, you scream, you take over highways, you break windows. But you're going to get yours. Your day is coming. The American people know who you are. And if you think that you're the ones who are going to commit violence and get away with it, and we're afraid of you, you're mistaken. You are mistaken. You haven't even seen the sleeping giant yet. You think you can just knock them around because your father was not home. You think you can knock them around because you had a feminist for a mother and no father. You don't know what the men of America are going to do to you when they get the chance. You go. Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep rioting. Keep breaking windows. Keep beating up policemen. Keep blocking highways. You'll come to see that you fascists are going to finally get your day in court. And it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be a day in the public court. You're going to unleash America like you've never seen. So keep it up. Go ahead. They want tuition from you at the University of California, and you riot. You have the nerve to go block a highway. You have the nerve to go block people coming home from work who pay the tuition for you. You bums, you lazy drug addicts, you. Or you schmucks on bicycles here in San Francisco, you putzes, you. On Fridays, you block the streets so people can't go home, and you call it exercise. You know it's not exercise. You know what it is. You just want to bottle up the works. It's not critical mass. It's critical communism. If it was up to me, I'd throw you all in jail. I'd throw your bicycles in the bay. And I hope that the new police chief follows through on this, and he's not intimidated by these bicycle idiots. I am a bicycle rider. I don't go out in rush hour and try to block traffic and not expect people to get mad at me.
And I can guarantee you, liberal or conservative, any working person listening to my show agrees with me. I don't care what their race is. I don't care what their religion is. If they work for a living and they are coming home at the end of a week, and you schmuck on a bicycle with 500 of your putz friends blocks them from getting on a bridge, they would like to do to you what I'd like to do to you. Okay? And the police have every right to take you in, put you into the hooscow for 30 days, and confiscate your bicycle and give it to a homeless person. That's what they ought to do. And the police chief would like to do it. But already the bicycle coalitionists are screaming, oh, this is healthy exercise. How dare you block healthy exercise? I'll give you exercise. I see the faces on you, you snot-nosed brats. You never had a father in your house. Not one of you had a decent father in the house. Your mother raised you to be the brat you are. Blocking traffic like that. Mexicans listening to me love this. They agree with me. Everyone, you think there's accidents by accident on the highways, huh? How much can people take? They work all week. They want to go home and you block them with your stupid behinds and your jester outfits? Always looking in your mirrors to see who you're blocking, you rats. You're beating people up, bashing the cars with your chains. We know what you do. If only the cops could be unleashed like in my day. If only the cops could be unleashed with nightsticks on a critical mass with me. It's Friday. Why am I not anguished and depressed? Because the tide is turning against Obama. The country does not like this man. The country is on to the fact that he's a petty dictator. The country understands he's a communist. The country understands what he's trying to do to them. The country knows he's a narcissist who's out of control. The country understands this. No, not the left-wing fanatics. They don't understand this. They don't understand this. They never can. They don't have the capacity. They don't have the wisdom to understand it. But the working people of America know who this guy is. Even those who voted for him, they have voter remorse. I knew it shouldn't have been done. Many people who were going to vote Republican were so fed up with McCain, the shame, that they went the other way. They figured, we'll bring it all down, girl, by bringing this guy to the top. And look what you got.
Savage.
Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com has the incredible idea of using religious freedoms to challenge Obamacare in the courts. Now, I came up with this idea on last week, right? And then we did some research, and I discovered through a friend who sent it to me, thank you, PC, that Obama has already granted an out to Christian Scientists and the Amish who will not be required to purchase government-mandated health insurance. The reason being that neither of these folks, these religious groups, believe in modern medicine. And as a result, it would be a violation of their rights to practice religion as they see fit. And so I suggest that we listen very carefully to this, and that if you are a Catholic who, let's say, is opposed to abortion, or you're a member of another religion, whatever it may be, and you have a religious precept that is not in sync with government care in some way, whatever the way may be, flood them with lawsuits. 10 million lawsuits, 9 million lawsuits, 8 million lawsuits. Use the tactics of the left to stop the left. Bring it all down, girl. You can read all about it on michaelsavage.com. Print it up, send it to friends, come back with creative ideas. In fact, whoever comes up with the best ideas for other religions to opt out of Obamacare will win a free prize. We'll send you on a free trip to Cuba for your next surgery, or we can send you to the proctologist that that Sean Penn uses. We'll send you to Sean Penn's proctologist, since he's so obsessed with that portion of the body. We assume that his proctologist would be the best in the land. Whatever. What else now? Missing mom turns up at home. Blah, blah, blah. Sean Penn wishes rectal cancer on his opponents. You hear this? And CBS lets that go out on the air. That's Les Moonves for you. That's the good liberals who hate Michael Savage. There's liberalism at its best, isn't it? I'm the bad guy, but he wishes rectal cancer on people, and they ban me from radio? Unbelievable. It's upside down. The evil in this land is overwhelming. Whichever way you look, liberalism is a mental disorder and an evil one. So, now that I've said it all, good night and good luck. I'm leaving. It's Friday. I want to go home already. TGIF. Oh, I was thinking of something. Recently, I liked when the guys laugh at my jokes, my Phil and Beowulf. Poor Doug Cann, he's busy fielding calls. He's the what do you call a catcher in a baseball game? He's in the, what is he, like, wear the mask? Is there a certain area, like behind home plate? Anyway, Doug's there. Who? Home plate? Doug's at home plate catching the call, so he can't hear me. He's listening to the callers. And so Phil and Beowulf laugh at some of my jokes. And, you know, we work very close. So I said, you know, you laugh at some of the jokes, but it doesn't go out on the air. Why don't you start running your laughter out on the air so that people can hear that someone's laughing at it? So we've run it over the last few weeks for the first time in 16 years. And some people are saying, Savage, you need someone to laugh at your jokes? Why don't you just get laugh tracks from television? So what we've done is gotten some laugh tracks from television shows. And I want to play some of them and ask you if I should run them when I say something funny. Play the first one. Wait, so you think that was funny, huh? I'll tell you the truth. How do you think I got out of the hole from Al in the gym? Because I had ants from Russia who would grab me. I know how to squirm out of it because their perfume stank. How do you think I did it, huh? No, let's try that again. Okay, well, I'm going to tell another one. Let's see how it sounds with the laughter and without it. So as I was saying, look, there's only one way. How do you explain the fact that a skinny kid in the gym at age 16 can escape the tight grip of Al the weightlifter? Other than the fact that I learned as a young kid in the Bronx from all of the ants from Russia who'd come in and their perfume was so overwhelming that I squirmed out of their grip. That's how I learned to escape. Years later, it was better than judo. You know what I mean? I've never done this before. You know, there may be something here. It's like a crutch, Beowulf. It's funny, isn't it? Oh, come on, stop. Now you're overusing it. Now you're going to kill me with the laugh. Should we run laugh tracks behind me just to give me a break?
Boo!
No. Oh, now we're using sound effects, the last refuge of the bad talk show host. Hey, did you hear what Sean Penn said? He wishes rectal cancer on cynics. Oh, stop it. Sean Penn said that anyone who disagrees with his politics should have rectal cancer. You hear? And that got a laugh at CBS. I don't believe it. So a bunch of kids from the University of California who finally have to pay tuition, they don't like the fact that they have to pay tuition. So a bunch of the schmucks put down the pot pipe and run out on the highways and block traffic. And what does the local newspaper publish? Instead of the brats should have been arrested, the schmucks with the failing newspaper here in San Francisco write, a day of action, a day of feisty protest for schools. No wonder nobody buys your crap. That was a laugh track. You should have hit it. Here's another joke. Pentagon shooter had a history of mental illness. Laugh track. No, come on. You know about the Pentagon shooter? Guy goes nuts. Turns out he's a left-wing nut. That's why you're not reading about it. He believed that George Bush caused the 9/11. What else did he believe? The guy was a left-wing nut. That's why they're not talking about a Pentagon shooter. If they could... Huh? What else? Oh, he grew his own pot, and he believed, probably believed in UFOs as well. So the guy's a left-wing whack job, and that's why you didn't read about it in today's paper. Remember yesterday, lockdown of the Pentagon, people shot, lunatic. You figured today you'd wake up, it was another Tea Party activist, which, of course, is not related to any violence, as you well know. That doesn't stop the vermin at the New York Times from trying to pin a tail on a donkey, so to speak. I say pin the tail on the real donkey, which is the Democrat Party. So in this case, the guy's a left-wing lunatic, goes on a rampage, shoots at the Pentagon, and you don't read about it because, A, grew his own pot, anti-government tracks. What does he mean, anti-government? He says the government caused 9/11. So in other words, a left-wing nutcase. In other words, he and Sean Penn would have been happy in Haiti together with the same proctologist, laugh track. Come on, that's karma. Do you remember that movie with Robert De Niro, one of my favorite movies, when he played with Jerry Lewis? He played Mr. Pumpkin or Pumpkin. King of Comedy, oh, an amazing movie. They blocked it from DVD release for 10 years. It came out. I couldn't stop watching that movie. How he, Pumpkin wants his own talk show so badly he wants to get on television. It was all about laugh tracks, by the way. Play the laugh track for me. Do you remember when Pumpkin went on the air? He had the laugh tracks that they had to run at his bad jokes. This is starting to sound like a parody of the bad parody. I'm telling you the truth. Let's see what else is in the news. Starbucks asks not to be center of gun debate. No laugh track. Okay. Sean Penn slams those who question his Haiti aid call, saying that they should get rectal cancer. Pentagon shooter had a history of mental illness known as liberalism. There is no truth to the rumor that the Pentagon shooter and Sean Penn share the same proctologist. I'll be right back.
It is absolutely true that all of this will cost some money, about $100 billion per year. But most of this comes from the nearly $2 trillion a year that America already spends on health care, but a lot of it is not spent wisely.
So you see what you can do with a laugh track? I don't, you know, even if they pass a, you see what I can do? When you really know this medium well, I was joking around with laugh tracks in the last segment here on the Savage Nation. Let's say they pass an anti-freedom of speech bill under Obama's freedom of speech. He's calling his health care when it's the opposite. It's going to deny people health care and give it to those who are not entitled to it, number one, meaning illegal aliens. It's going to tax people who don't want to buy the health plan, which is certainly thuggery. So let's say the next thing they do is try to pass the so-called fairness doctrine and kill talk radio because we're the last refuge of the real Americana on in the electronic media. We could just run sound bites from him and laugh tracks. Don't want they're going to pass a law saying you can't run the president's speeches with a laugh track? You think they'd get away with that one? Or how about running a Pelosi speech with a laugh track? You got anything for Pelosi? You got Botox? You got a Botoxer for me? Give me a Botoxer with a laugh track. And just dig up anything. Or give me another... How about Hillary Clinton speaking about something? Any one of them.
Yeah, it seems, I know you don't have bill language or another proposal from the president yet. However, it seems pretty clear that two of the issues that are going to be very difficult to handle procedurally are issues that really can't be done under reconciliation. Abortion and immigration in particular.
Yeah, under the budget resolution, you can only deal with issues that are central to the budget. Neither of these issues is central to the bill. This is not an immigration bill. It is not an abortion bill. It's a bill about affordable health care for all Americans. And
Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Speaker. Go make a pasta fazool. Do me a favor. Get me the stuff from Monday of them in 2005, all the Democrats getting their getting uptight over the same exact reconciliation methodology that they're trying to ramroad this through with. Get me Schumer. Get me Schumer standing up on the Constitution. Get me the Seltzer man. Go ahead. Get me the Seltzer man's son on this, and then we'll play a laugh track under it. You'll see what I mean. So it doesn't matter if they pass the fairness doctrine. I'll just run their speeches with laugh tracks. I won't even have to say anything. Hey, here's another one. Play Sean Penn talking about rectal cancer for people who oppose him and put a laugh track behind it. See how it sounds. Watch what it does to it.
Does it make you angry when people talk about, you know, Sean Penn, the Hollywood star, the movie star, coming in and trying to do something and they're kind of cynical about it?
No, it's just in this, I guess I've been so away from it all in our tent camp in Haiti that I haven't had an awful lot of time to pay attention to them. Do I hope that those people die screaming of rectal cancer? Yeah.
Thank you, CBS. You have great taste. Great, great taste, CBS. Yeah, really great taste. Rectal cancer is a real good joke. I mean, I heard of scatological references, and we know where that comes from. But now this is below scatological referencing. You understand that? This is below scatological referencing. What happened to my website? Is my pictures popping up in spots where there should be stories? My website got blown down by the government. Look at this stupid story. Extra small condoms marketed to 12-year-olds in Switzerland. Laugh track. A leading condom manufacturer in Switzerland has created extra small condoms called Hot Shots for boys as young as 12 years old. What? Did we lose the show, guys? Are you there? What, did you go to sleep? Let's start again, okay? Al Gore says that there's global warming, but here's a picture on my website of a ferry trapped in Baltic sea ice. Is that global warming? Okay, now you're getting it. Hold on. We're going to go down and we'll see how it works. MSNBC analyst tired of being a cartoon player for lefty games, and he's leaving MSNBC. A Queens imam who worked as a community liaison while also serving as an informant for the NYPD, ended up failing at both roles when he tipped off two allegedly subway bomb plotters. That's funny? That's not funny. That's not funny at all. Obama czar's shocking communist connections. Listen to this from the World End Daily. Obama's science czar served on the board of editors of a magazine whose personnel were accused of providing information that helped the Soviet Union build an atom bomb. Here's the best laugh. Here's the most funny thing we've played in the last half hour. Here's Charles Schumer, clown.
We are on the precipice of a crisis, a constitutional crisis. The checks and balances which have been at the core of this republic.
The core.
Are about to be.
The core.
Evaporated. By the nuclear option.
The core.
The checks and balances which say that if you get 51% of the vote, you don't get your way 100% of the time. It is amazing. It's almost a temper tantrum.
That's Charles Schumer when the Republicans were threatening to use the nuclear option, not when they actually did it. Now, here's Charles Schumer crowing on the other side saying it's a good idea. So when was he lying, then or now? And was he lying when he said it was unconstitutional, or is he lying now when he's saying it's a fine methodology? It's amazing to me what we're putting up with here. With this government, I never saw anything like this. I really have never seen anything like this. In a million years, would you expect the country would melt down as quickly under the imposter? The Democrats are mired in the swamp that they vowed to drain. Even the Associated Press is saying that. Play Feinstein. You want another laugh here?
The nuclear option, if successful, will turn the Senate into a body that could have its rules broken at any time by a majority of senators unhappy with any position taken by the minority.
No, I love when she used to have the goody two-shoes voice. That was with the years in 05. She was still playing nice die. The goody two-shoes voice with the big bow tie. Oh, my God, what bad actresses. You know, the alleged Oscars are on this weekend. I watch him for 5 or 6 minutes just to see the junkies come out, you know, and I like to see them squirm when the other person wins. That's the only thing I like watching. Now, of course, the schmuck who's going to run it this year is the one who threatened his daughter. That I can't believe. They didn't throw the gun out. Alec Baldwin, right? He's going to be the one giving it out? That should be a kick.
So-
is the Savage Nation. We've been having fun in this hour playing laugh tracks over some clowns in Washington, because I did the entire piece on how to stop the nuclear option from destroying the greatest medical system the world has ever seen. And basically it fell on deaf ears because you didn't hear it on the golfer show. It's no good. Because you didn't hear it from Wallbanger, the high school graduate. It probably isn't any good. And because Hem didn't put it on a blackboard, I guess it didn't take root. But I do the best I can for a guy with so many advanced degrees. I struggle along to keep up with the subliterates in radio. I know that you don't want to hear it, but that's the way it is. That's all. So, since you don't care about that, boo-hoo. Atlanta Jeff, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, good evening, Michael. I was going to check in on your laugh track. I think I enjoy the humor much more on the Chosen One and all his buffoons up in Washington. I think the track on you makes you kind of feel or sound a little bit like Rupert Pupkin a bit, and I don't want to see you
That's it. Well, of course, it was a parody. That's why I said I'm not going to do it anymore, but that's why I did it, to show you I'm not going to do it.
Yeah,
but when I play it behind Pelosi or Obama, you got to understand that it really has a tremendous ripple effect.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's
excellent. Well, because he speaks with that booming voice of his, where he thinks every word he says is sacred, and that no one thinks that they can criticize him. And I told you that's because his entire life he's gotten away with this, playing that game. The white liberals in Hawaii who sheltered him, who supported him, who raised him up, who brought him to where he is, looked upon him like the chosen one. So he's never encountered any opposition in his entire life. And the only answer here is to say to him, no, Mr. President, you are exactly why we have a separation of powers. You are why Jefferson said to Washington while the Constitution was being written, did you just pour that coffee into a cup? And Washington said, I did, because my throat is not made of brass. And Jefferson said, that's why we have a Senate, is to take extra hot ideas and let them sit for a while before they're foisted on the American people. Apparently, Obama didn't read that in his constitutional law classes. Thank you for the call. It's homie. Don't play the laugh thing. Come on, it's not. What else do we have for you in the kitty on the Savage Nation? New York, WOR. Linda, go ahead. You're up on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Mike, I love you. I am what you would refer to as a left-wing nut. However, I love listening to you, and I'll tell you why if you would like. But I wanted to ask your opinion. In all of the major health care policies, abortion is already covered. And to the people who object to that abortion coverage under this Obamacare, currently, I don't agree with them, but they should be against the tax cuts and a complete absence of corporate tax paying by industries that do cover abortion under most plans.
The abortion issue has been covered, and unto itself it's important, but I'm not going to cover it because others have done a better job than I could do. What do you think about my idea for using the religious freedoms clause of our Bill of Rights to challenge Obamacare if we're opposed to it?
Well, I think it would have to be extended to challenging more than Obamacare. For example, the Pope came out against the war, and any Catholic...
you're reaching now, because you're being facetious. The Pope didn't pass laws that would require anyone to do anything, did he?
No, but under the aegis of the Catholic Church, a Catholic...
Yeah, but the Catholic Church doesn't have judicial powers. It's a suggestion that you follow the laws of the Church, and not everyone's a Catholic. But in this regard, everyone has to be a Democrat, and everyone has to be a liberal, and everyone has to buy Obamacare. So I'm saying, since he has already, pardon me, granted the right to Christian Scientists and Amish to opt out of Obamacare, if, even though you disagree with me, you're a liberal, you listen, how would you use that to get out of Obamacare if you, let's say, were not a Christian Scientist? Would you think there's another way for a Catholic, a Jew, or a Muslim, or a Hindu to do so?
Well, I think the people who disagree with abortion do have the right to go to court to
see, fight. But you're going back to abortion because what you did was, is you're a plant caller from Obama, and you're just reading from a script. So why don't you put the script down now, Johnny, and try to be a big boy and actually try to engage in a dialogue. You want to do that?
Vote for Mr. Obama. I voted for Dennis Kucinich.
Well, that's even worse.
Yeah,
Dennis Kucinich is like Trotsky to Obama's Marx.
I was in favor of single payer. I don't approve of the Obamacare thing.
But why is it that you can't answer a question? Why is it you keep going back to what you called to say? If it's talk radio, talk implies a two-way street, a conversation. And the theme today is, Savage suggests using religious freedoms to challenge Obamacare. You're an intelligent man. I mean, obviously, you're intelligent enough to try to challenge some of the ideas of your opponents, and I respect that. But we're going to challenge the ideas of our opponents, and I'm asking you if you think that there is any way to do so if one doesn't want it.
Yeah, I believe they have the right to challenge that. I'm not arguing against that. It's just that already people, unbeknownst to them, are funding through their tax dollars, through subsidies to the health insurance.
I understand, but you're going back again to abortion because that's the script that you have in your hand. What if the government passes in 8 years to a radical right-wing government, and the radical right-wing government starts to legislate sexuality, and they pass a sexual reform bill? Everybody must practice the same type of sexuality. What would happen then?
Well, I think there'd be riots.
Why would there be riots?
I think people would see, once their own real privacy were invaded, that something was desperately wrong.
What if the government said you can only practice heterosexual sex between man and woman? Would there be riots in the country?
Well, if, either that or...
Of course there'd be riots in the country. The government has no right to legislate sexual behavior. We all agree on that, right? Then why the hell does the government think it has the right to legislate medical care and the way we shall get it and who we shall get it from? Where does the government have that authority?
I don't know whether they have the authority to do that, but I do agree.
Well, I don't believe they do. The Commerce Clause prohibits it, as I've shown with the Schechter case from the 1940s, as does the Freedom of Religion Clause. And I could see why at least you are willing to listen to the show, but you probably listen because of my sense of humor rather than my politics, if you really do listen.
Dr. Mike, I did not vote for Barack Obama. I am a lifelong...
What do you think of my sense of humor in the laugh tracks today?
Well, I'll tell you why I listen to you and why I like you. I believe that you are the least nasty, the least venal, what would be called right-wing talk show host on the air. I don't think that you are heartless, which many of them are. I think you have a grand sense of humor. And for a while...
Thank God somebody on the left hears who I really am.
But I'm a real leftist. I'm not what you see as a leftist.
So you're not a real progressive. You're a genuine Democrat.
No, I'm an old Democrat. I'm not a neoliberal, which is what we've got nowadays.
All right. Well, I respect an old anything. If you've lived this long, you must be doing something right.
Well, I enjoy your humor.
Come on. That's a laugh track line. So what about the laugh track? Should I use them or throw them out?
Yes, because it's a lot like WWF. I like that, and that's why I like you.
What, you mean you like the laugh tracks?
I think they should be played on all television channels during the news, frankly.
Well, I think that they're funny when they're played behind the politician, to be honest with you. Give me an example. Let's play a straight Obama, like a 10-seconder, and then do a laugh track, and we're going to have Linda tell us what she thinks.
What I worry about would be that you essentially have still two chambers, the House and the Senate, but you have simply majoritarian... absolute power on either side. And that's just not what the founders intended.
The reason the laugh track works is because that's what Obama said when he was a senator in 2005, when he opposed the very reconciliation tactics he's now trying to use. That's why it's laughable.
Well, I think that if those laugh tracks were played after every sentence that every politician uttered, people would listen more to the content.
You know, it's funny. Why is your name Linda?
Well, I'm a woman.
Oh, okay. Let it go at that. You have a very interesting voice, Linda.
Anyway, Linda is my name, and I love it. My mother gave it to me because of that old song, "When I Go to Sleep, I Don't Count Sheep." I'm 57, so I was born at that time.
Do you sing? Do you sing at all? Or?
Yes, I do.
How did I know? Are you a performer?
Only in my own right, in my own life. Nothing.
That means you're probably a great performer.
I'm believe it or not, I've been a waitress for 45 years, and I call myself an actress struggling to become a waitress.
But like when you wait on people, there are days you probably despise your customers, correct? How do you get through that?
I make them love me. I play practical.
Interesting. Skills. It's a reverse psychology of the inner angst.
Yeah, because if they're going to be coming in every night, you want them to tip you well, and you know. So I really make people want to come out to eat.
But let me ask you something. No, this is interesting. It's very much like any other performance in a way, waiting on a table. So you come in pissed off. You don't want to do the job. You resent it. You're 57. You think you deserve better. You don't know how you wound up there, blah, blah, blah. But you go in there and you put out the best vibes you can. And you do you feel better at the end of the night than you did coming in?
Only because my pockets are full.
Oh, come on now. But by being nice, don't you feel better?
You know what I do? Especially older people who don't feel paid attention to. I love to get those people laughing.
So there's a decency in you, even though you're basically a nasty person.
Well, come on.
Oh, come on.
I'm nasty. I took care of five younger brothers and sisters. I'm a nice
you
person.
You did? You
yeah.
did? I'm just testing to see if I can get some anger out of you to see who you really were. I mean, because I don't believe you're really Linda. I believe that you're probably Howard Dean or somebody. Linda, let me ask you something. What do you think of Sean Penn wishing rectal cancer on people who oppose him?
I think what he said was he hoped that they would die screaming from rectal cancer. I assume.
Oh, that's horrible. Isn't that a horrible thing?
Well, I think he was talking about the people in Haiti who didn't have medical care, that's what was happening.
No, he didn't. She asked him about people who don't like his humanitarian work and put him down. He said he hopes they die of rectal cancer. You heard it.
He should have called me because I would have told him not to say that.
Linda, of course not. Now, let me ask you something. Somebody who would say that about people he doesn't know, is he obsessed with that region of his body?
Oh, gosh. I would assume he's obsessed with more with female genitalia, traditionally. I don't know.
Well, you see, that raises an interesting question that he would raise that as an illness. He didn't say, I hope they get heart attacks. He didn't say, I hope they get cancer of the brain. Look what he said, cancer of the rectum.
I don't know what he meant by that. I don't presume to speak for him. I only speak for myself, and I speak for you to my friends. And
you
I
do.
Enjoy
you're
it.
Not laughed at. You're not mocked for saying you listen to me on WOR in New York. You're not shunned.
See, I live in a university town. I know these fancy professors. They think I'm out of my mind, but I'm a very independent thinker. And you also
they aren't. You know that they're very, very, they're much deeply imprisoned, the university people.
Want their pensions. They're scared to death. They'll go along with anything right now. But you also remind me of Andrew Dice Clay, and I say that in a very favorable way.
He was funny. I don't take that in a bad way. I liked him when he first came on the scene. He was great.
Him. He was a parody of the
yes.
uneducated male, and the
right.
feminists got the wrong idea. Anyway,
so you think I'm a parody of the uneducated as well?
No, I think you're a parody. I don't know how to explain this quickly. I think you're a parody of right-wing venal talk show hosts, but you have a heart and a sense of humor. I think you're...
No, you got half of it right. I'm a parody of a paradigm, is what you're trying to say.
Something like that, but I don't
That's
believe...
That's right. See that? Doesn't that tell you everything? If I could take what you just said as a put-down and turn it into a positive... Doesn't that tell you that everything you said is upside down? Well, Linda, thanks for calling. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Here's a good positive story. I just read it just now. Came out minutes ago from the AP in Kenya. Arms race on high seas, armed pirates attack soar. But that's not the head. Warships who are doing nothing. Our Navy's useless under Obama. Anyway, they try to take down a Spanish fishing boat off the coast of Kenya, these Muslim pirates. And they hit the ship with an RPG. Private security on board the ship returns fire and the hijackers flee. So what's happening is that there's an attack, counterattack, and... Two-thirds of the attacks by the Somali Muslim pirates have been repelled by crews alone without the use of warships, which are useless under Obama. For some reason, Obama will not allow our Navy to do the job that they were created to do, which is to kill pirates. How many times have I told you? The first U.S. Navy ship was created specifically to counter piracy. The Marines aboard the ship were called leathernecks because they wore leather bands around their neck to protect them against the swipes of cutlasses by pirates. Again, it was Muslims. Again, they were hijackers. And again, the Navy was used originally to kill them by boarding the pirate ship and cutting their throats and throwing them overboard to the sharks. Okay, that was then. This is now. Now we have Obama, and he does exactly what Bush does, which is tell the Navy to stand down and make sure that they're safe for the birthers aboard, safe for the women who want to give birth on the ship. That's the most important part of the Navy's duty today. So you read the stories now, and it gets very interesting. The ships are now posting extra lookouts. They're increasing speed. They're maneuvering so a ship produces more wake or heads into rough waves to make it difficult for the pirates to attract them. It even gets more interesting. Now the ship owners are putting razor wire and fire hoses that can hit attackers with streams of high-pressure water. Some ships are even having electric fence-style systems put onto their ship, right? And skin irritants or dye can be added to the water that will help coalition forces identify attackers for possible arrest. But wait, it gets even more interesting. You're not going to believe this. Some ships have been forced to rely on sailors' ingenuity. Crews have thrown everything from oil drums to wooden planks at would-be hijackers clambering up ladders. Last month, the crew played the sound of dogs barking over an amplifier to frighten off attackers. Now, here's the punchline. You have to read four-fifths of the article to find out why they're afraid of dogs. You ready for it? It's the I word. Dogs are considered unclean in Islam, and few Somalis keep them as pets. Shipping industry officials are discussing putting guard dogs on high-risk vessels to help frighten off pirates, Moody said. Did you hear what I just said to you? You have to read the whole article to get to the point to find out, A, they're Muslim, B, they hate dogs, and C, the dogs scare them because they hate dogs and they consider dogs unclean. Dogs are considered unclean in Islam, and a few Somalis keep them as pets. So the shippers are putting guard dogs on high-risk vessels to help frighten off pirates. You didn't know that, did you? That's because your multicultural press lies to you at every turn. Even when they're telling you the truth, they suppress the truth from you. But I don't. I bring the truth to the surface. Like it or not, it's the Savage Nation. I call them like I see them. I hope you're enjoying it. There's no laugh track for that one. Why is our Navy not killing pirates? Why is Obama following the same procedures that Bush followed with pirates? Why are they catering to the Somali Muslim pirates? We have warships, the smallest of our warships. A destroyer-class ship could knock these pirate vessels out of the water before they even get within 20 miles of the boat, if not more. They could pick them up on the radar screen. With high-flying satellites, they could read what the skiff is. They could probably see who's on the damn boat and blow it out of the water. I don't understand what's happened to our country that we have such weak, useless leadership in government and in the military. Again, I have to say, in the military, you heard me. Why do you think we're bogged down in Afghanistan? That should have been like the taking of Pelham 123. Again, liberalism, the mental disorder, is killing our troops in Afghanistan. Liberalism, the mental disorder, is killing our Navy in Somalia. Liberalism, the mental disorder, is killing our police in the cities. Liberalism, the mental disorder, go on and on and on and on and on. Everywhere you turn, you understand why the people are at the point of no return in this country. They cannot take this idiocy of the multiculturalism catering to criminals. You add it to the list and tax the workers and spit in the workers' faces and deny them what they want and give it to those who don't deserve it. Why does Obama cater to the illegal alien? Why is he giving the entire health care plan for the illegal alien? It's not about insurance companies. It's about La Raza. Make no mistake about it. This is an attempt to win the Latino vote. You won't read that, though, because even the Republicans won't touch it. It's the third rail of both parties. But it's not something you should avoid talking about. Savage Nation, MichaelSavage.com. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. In the jungle, the quiet jungle, the lion sleeps tonight.
It's Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. You know, we know Obama's using any means necessary to force socialized medicine onto America. It's unconstitutional. It's un-American. No matter what actors may say, no matter what the left wing says, this is extremely unusual because it's un-American. Yes, it's been used before, reconciliation, but never for a program of this magnitude. Never for a program that has such an effect on so many lives. And if we live in a democracy, why would he use, let us say, extra techniques, techniques seen in banana republics, to shove socialized medicine down our throats if it's so wonderful? If it's so wonderful, why do most taxpayers oppose it? You know that the illegal aliens want it, which is why he wants it, because he's satisfying la raza. You understand that many indigent people are going to get medical care that will beat you, be better than yours, and that's why he's wanting to do it. Obama has decided to blow up the U.S. Senate to get it done. He announced that rather than follow the rules of the U.S. Senate, which requires 60 votes to end debate on any issue, the demon cats will use a method called reconciliation to force the bill with only 51 Senate votes. Obama has decided to use the nuclear option to force his will on the American people. Now, you know that the demon cats attacked the same method when they were in the minority and when they thought the Republicans might use the nuclear option in 2005. They went crazy. Oh, they said everything against it. But that doesn't matter to them now because they're in power. And as you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely, as Nancy Pelosi can best typify. On top of this, Obama's going to make young people who may not want or need health insurance buy it. Why? Because the young people will pay their premiums to support illegal aliens who don't pay for health care at all. Maybe you don't know this, but making individual Americans purchase health insurance is unconstitutional. Now, it is true that Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution gives Congress the power to regulate interstate commerce, but in order for this to apply, Congress must be regulating some kind of economic activity. But a health care mandate doesn't regulate any sort of activity. Just being an American citizen would trigger it. That's not an activity. It's regulating people, not an activity. This is not the first time that big government has tried to force nonsensical and draconian regulation on the American people. This was Franklin Delano Roosevelt's approach in the 1930s under his socialist New Deal program. But FDR's dictatorial schemes came crashing down when they ran into conflict with four Jewish brothers in New York, the Schechter brothers, who ran two kosher butcher shops in Brooklyn. Roosevelt created the National Recovery Administration, or the NRA, during the Depression to socialize America. It drew up all kinds of detailed codes on how individual businesses should be run, told businesses and firms how to do their business. The Schechter brothers, the kosher butchers from Brooklyn, fell under rules which told them that their customers could only buy an entire coop of chickens or a half a coop of chickens, but the customer could not make a selection of a single bird. This was in conflict with Jewish kosher laws, which required the removal of unhealthy animals from the stock. It was a violation of their religious freedom, but the courts found the Schechter brothers guilty of allowing their customers to buy individual chickens instead of whole coops. They were not in compliance with FDR's mandate, and they all served jail time. But then they appealed. The case then made it to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court found in favor of the Schechter brothers. By a unanimous decision, the Supreme Court held that FDR's regulations exceeded congressional powers under the Commerce Clause of the Constitution and invalidated them. And speaking to aides of Roosevelt, Justice Louis Brandeis said the following. He said to them, "This is the end of this business of centralization. And I want you to go back and tell the president that we're not going to let this government centralize everything. Sound good, doesn't it? The same message must be sent to Obama. It's interesting to note that in the case of the Schechter brothers, government regulation came into conflict with Jewish dietary law. If their lawyers had taken a different tact, they probably could have won on this basis, on the basis that their religious freedom was being violated. But this time around, Obama the dictator has made religious exemptions for health care insurance as part of the deal. Did you know that? He anticipated that certain religions would be able to sue. So guess what Obama did while you slept? Christian Scientists are exempt from Obamacare. The Amish will not be required to buy health insurance. Did you know that? Why? Because modern medical care violates some of their religious convictions. So, here's my suggestion. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. If Obama's people have made exceptions for these religious groups, let us find other religious groups that they'll have to find exceptions for until there are so many people exempted from the system that the government won't possibly be able to pay for it. Let's think about the possibilities. Will religious Jews be forced to pay for medical care on Saturday, the Jewish Sabbath, a day on which they're not allowed to receive medical care, or will they be given 1/6 off? Will Obamacare pay for religious circumcision amongst Jewish families? I didn't say regular circumcision. I said religious ritualistic circumcision. Will the government pay for that? Well, if they do, then any other religion can claim that the government has to pay for their religious beliefs or the religious activities as well. Devout Muslims are not supposed to be in the presence of alcohol. Does this mean that they won't be able to participate in an Obamacare program which covers alcohol swabs? The possibilities are endless for lawsuits. What other religious exemptions do you think you might be able to use to avoid Obama's socialized medicine plan? America must act quickly on this because Obama is shoving this through the Senate as we speak. You see, Obama's nuclear option flies in the face of over 200 years of Senate tradition. Requiring only 51 votes instead of 60 flies in the face of the intent of the U.S. Constitution. When the genius founding fathers designed the legislative branch of the government, they made the House of Representatives the body that was meant to be directly and immediately responsive to the voters. That's why they have short 2-year terms. That's why they represent small districts and have a more direct relationship to the voters. On the other hand, the Senate was designed to be a moderating influence on the passions of the electorate. That's why senators have 6-year terms, longer than that of the president, so they could weather the storms of a populace stirred up by a potential dictator. That's why they represent entire states instead of just districts. Until the early 20th century, senators weren't even elected directly by the voters. This is Michael Savage, and I'm giving you a little history on Obama's dictatorial moves here with health care. Even George Washington understood that the Senate was meant to act as a bulwark against the actions of those who would try to quickly impose their will on the nation. In a legendary conversation, Thomas Jefferson had returned from France and was breakfasting with Washington as the Constitution was being created. Jefferson asked Washington why he agreed to have a Senate. "Why," said Washington, "did you just now pour that coffee into your cup before drinking it?" "To cool it," said Jefferson. "My throat is not made of brass." "Even so," said Washington, "we pour our legislation into the senatorial cup to cool it." That is what the U.S. Senate was designed to do, stop baby dictators like Obama from running too hot and pushing through their radical agendas before the people of the U.S. had a chance to understand what was going on. But Obama has decided to blow up over 200 years of Senate tradition, blow up the intent of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, and blow up the essence of the Constitution in order to push socialized medicine with the nuclear option. You have to understand that this could be more than just a defeat for conservatives or Republicans. If Obama succeeds in dropping his health bomb, it will destroy the very core of the Constitution. This is an attack against everything guaranteed by the Bill of Rights, even those cherished by liberals, because if Obama could destroy one part of the Constitution using the so-called reconciliation or nuclear option process, Obama can destroy any other part of it. And don't think for a minute that socialized medicine will be the last stop on the train bound for perdition. I'm Michael Savage, and I approve of this monologue. I hope you enjoyed it.
Savage.
And now, the Savage Nation Hollywood Idiot of the Day.
I want you to hear a clip from the human being known as Sean Penn. He's actually a member of the human species, even though many of you don't know that. This is the great humanitarian who went to save the Haitians. Here he is wishing death on his enemies. He says that anyone who criticizes his humanitarian work should die screaming of rectal cancer. What's amazing to me is that my sound bites are taken out of context and I'm banned in Britain, while this piece of human trash, this psychopath, in my opinion, Penn, wishes death upon people overtly, and people don't stop him?
Does it make you angry when people talk about, you know, Sean Penn, the Hollywood star, the movie star, coming in and trying to do something and they're kind of cynical about it?
No, it's just in this, I guess I've been so away from it all in our tent camp in Haiti that I haven't had an awful lot of time to pay attention to them. Do I hope that those people die screaming of rectal cancer? Yeah. You know, but I'm not going to spend a lot of energy on it.
What a sick man. And almost as bad as another Hollywood idiot. Fine actor, though. Tom Hanks, who calls Obama a wise, calm man.
What the Obama people don't understand is Washington always wins. Is this one more depressing example for you of how, with the Obama administration, Washington always wins?
We're going to be fine. And I think we've elected a wise, calm man who wants to get things done.
And even though Americans lost another 36,000 jobs, today is a good day for Harry Reid, because it's not his job.
Today is a big day in America. Only 36,000 people lost their jobs today, which is really good.
At least someone is on to Obama. Michelle Bachmann wants an investigation into the vote buying that Obama engaged in by appointing the brother of an undecided Democrat congressman to a federal judgeship. That's called buying a vote. Uh-huh.
We think an independent investigation is timely and makes sense because every aspect of the health care bill has been negotiated behind closed doors, whether it's the substance of the bill or whether it's been a certain amount of what you might call vote buying. If President Bush was in the White House today, and if President Bush had offered a judgeship to the brother of a Republican member of Congress who wouldn't give him a vote on a very crucial piece of legislation, and then brought him up to the White House to perhaps do some pressuring, don't you think the Democrats would be out there calling for an independent investigation? I think they would. We're seeing that the Democrats want to get over the finish line on health care, clearly a bill that the American people have thoroughly repudiated, and it would be very unseemly, if not worse than that, to be vote buying to get these votes for a very unpopular bill that the people don't want.
What else is there to talk about? Just about everything. You know, I got a lot of advertisers, and you know what? I believe in them. They believe in me, but you got to start believing in them. I had blinds put in my house. I couldn't believe the transformation. The price, it was lower than anything I've ever paid, but the look is beyond belief. The installation was like instantly. And stamps.com. I don't go to the post office anymore. My time is free. I feel that I'm liberated. So stop what you're doing right now. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Savage. That's stamps.com. This morning, I bicycled down to the mall. I bicycle every day, one way, blah, blah, blah. And there was a farmer's market at the mall. And once again, there were the grifters. I can call them liberals. I don't know what they were. I assume they were by their looks. The minute I saw them eating for free from the poorest of the poor at the farmer's market, I got angry. There you saw the poor people trying to make a living selling some homegrown fruits and vegetables from little truck farms or home-cooked pastries that they make in their house. And there were the little piggies going from stand to stand, eating the free samples with little teeny forks and smiling at the owners of these little stalls like little insects pretending that they would buy either a cookie or a grape or an orange or an apple. I've seen this before, and I tried to ignore it. I tried not to engage in it, but I couldn't. Unfortunately, my anger swelled up, and I lost control of myself. Why? Well, there was this big, fat slob of a woman in her late 70s, obviously from Brooklyn. Huge bosoms, a craw on her that could have devoured a school bus. She was knocking down as many freebies as she could from booth to booth. So I, unfortunately, collided with her when she was next to a tofu meatball booth. And here she's sticking one little fork, toothpick full of the meatball into her fat craw, one after the other, like she's at a bar mitzvah. So I said to the owner, so she could hear, do you sell anything or do you only have these people eating for nothing? So Fatso ignores me. The owner says, what? What? Oh, he says, you've got to give samples in order for them to buy. I said, do any of them buy or do they just eat for free? I wanted to hear it. So Fatso stops eating like a big insect, and she drops the tofu meatball on her bosoms, and she says, ah, he must be from New York, she says with a big mocking New York. I said, wherever I'm from, I pay for my food, unlike you. And on she goes. She opens up her craw and sticks in another tofu meatball into her mouth. And I walk away muttering to myself, saying, why do I get involved? All I know is that the poor feed off the poor.
Savage.
It is Friday, and here's James Hurston with a report on the shenanigans going on in Hollywood.
Well, the state of California may be broke, the country may be a mess, but that doesn't stop the Oscars, and they're coming on Sunday. An Academy Awards fever has gripped Hollywood. Meanwhile, Nicolas Cartier was one of the producers of The Hurt Locker. He sent an email out, and he urged these Oscar voters to support his film, Hurt Locker, and not that $500 million film, Avatar. Well, this guy was now banned from attending the ceremony because he violated the Academy rules. But Cartier, the producer, isn't the only person disinvited. The satiric actor Sacha Baron Cohen has also been dropped from the ceremony due to what his representative calls creative differences.
Well, like what?
Cohen was going to team up with Ben Stiller, and they were going to do an Avatar spoof in which Cohen, you know, this is Borat, he would appear as a female alien from Avatar, the Na'vi, and the female alien would be pregnant with director James Cameron's love child. The Oscar producer Bill Mechanic was worried that this director Cameron would be offended, so he pulled the sketch. And he canceled Borat. He wasn't worried about the audience being offended because, well, you know, it's the Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And as the Academy Awards approach, people start talking about this strange Oscar voting rule for Best Picture. See, since 1943, the Best Picture nominees have been limited to 5 films. But this year, the Academy expanded the nominees to 10 to bring in more popular films and raise ratings for the Academy Awards television show, which has been down lately. So the almost 6,000 voting members are using a new preferential voting system for Best Picture. So instead of just voting for the film that you think is the best, the Oscar voters have to rank their favorites from 1 to 10. So there's a complicated point system. And the end result is that one of the films, a nominee that has a lot of second or third place votes, can end up winning over a film selected by more voters for their number one choice.
Well, how does that work?
It's very weird. It's even more complicated than the Electoral College. Part of the reason for this change was to appeal more to the public than to the film critics, and to avoid snubbing popular movies. But the Academy has snubbed some of the most talented legends of the movie business. You will not believe the names of those that the Oscar voters gave a cold shoulder to rather than a gold statue. I mean, today we have Dancing with the Stars, But the individual who personified graceful movement on the screen was Fred Astaire. In his whole career, he had one nomination for acting for the movie The Towering Inferno, and later in life, he was awarded that obligatory honorary award that's given to Oscar snub victims after retirement. The epitome of the classical actor, a guy whose voice came out of the screen in a kind of 3D audio, was Richard Burton. Richard Burton was nominated 7 times, but lost every time. Montgomery Clift was nominated for his acting in 4 stunning performances: The Search, A Place in the Sun, From Here to Eternity, and Judgment at Nuremberg. He was 0 for 4 when it came to the Oscar. And then he of the cleft chin, Kirk Douglas. He was nominated 3 times for Champion, The Bad and the Beautiful, and Lust for Life. No wins, but, of course, a late honorary prize. And his most famous film, Spartacus, no nominations for that one.
Unbelievable.
And the legendary filmmaker Stanley Kubrick, he was nominated for Dr. Strangelove, for 2001, A Space Odyssey, for Clockwork Orange, for Barry Lyndon, and for Full Metal Jacket. But he never got an Oscar for Best Director. They only gave him one of those special effects awards for 2001.
So who do you think's going to win on Sunday?
Well, I know what will happen on Sunday. It'll be, you know, lame humor from some of the hosts and presenters, and there'll be some usual ignorant political remarks. But let me tell you the likely winners just in case you have a betting pool. Jeff Bridges will win Best Actor for his down-and-out country singer in Crazy Heart. He won the Screen Actors Guild Award, and he also won the Golden Globe. And in the past, 8 out of 9 other actors who took home those awards also took home the Oscar. The one exception is Russell Crowe for A Beautiful Mind. Another actor who deserves an award is Jeremy Renner for his portrayal of a soldier in Iraq who has the job of finding and destroying hidden explosive devices in the Hurt Locker. And I'm afraid that George Clooney, who was nominated for Up in the Air, and Morgan Freeman for Invictus, will have to listen to someone else's acceptance speech for Best Actor. Now, you can look for Sandra Bullock to beat Meryl Streep and take home the gold, and this is amazing.
Why do you say that?
She's going to take it for playing a gun-toting, prayerful, conservative NRA member in The Blind Side.
Are you kidding?
Bullock won a SAG Award and a Golden Globe Award for Best Actress. And 7 out of 9 actresses who won both the SAG and the Globe took home the Oscar. Meryl Streep won 2 Academy Awards in her career for Kramer vs. Kramer and Sophie's Choice, but she's been nominated a record 15 times.
Wow.
And this newcomer, Gabby Sabide, who was in Precious, was a standout, but isn't going to win. Now, here's one. For Best Supporting Actor, we're going to see Christoph Waltz take that Oscar. He's going to waltz in for playing an evil, despicable Nazi colonel in Quentin Tarantino's Inglourious Basterds. He won a SAG and the Golden Globe, and if we look in the past, 4 out of 5 actors that won both of those awards took home the little golden statue. Monique is going to win, and that's her name, Monique, for Best Supporting Actress, because she shocked the audiences. You know, she's known as being a comedian, and then she comes out in this movie, Precious, playing this despicably cruel mother, and she also won a SAG Award and a Globe. And we look at the past, that's 6 out of 8 actresses in her position won. And what is a tug of war between an ex-couple? You know, James Cameron directed Avatar, and he used to be married to Catherine Bigelow, who directed The Hurt Locker. In the case of this particular category, see, Bigelow won the Directors Guild Award. And if we look at the history of the Academy Awards, 9 out of 10 of the Directors Guild winners have gotten the Oscar, so I think Catherine Bigelow has the edge. The toughest category, though, is the Best Picture.
Why?
Because I mentioned the voting with this preferential voting where they list their favorites 1 to 10. It's very complex. So the number one choice might not win because if there are more second place, third place choices, it could win. Now, the two top contenders are Avatar and The Hurt Locker. Inglourious Basterds, Quentin Tarantino's movie, is a wild card. But Hurt Locker has an edge because Kathryn Bigelow, as I mentioned earlier, is going to win Best Director, and the film that wins Best Director has won Best Picture in 42 out of the 50 years that the Academy Awards have existed. Now, I would have liked to see The Blind Side take Best Picture, but can you imagine if they said, open the envelope, please. And the winner is this conservative story, The Blind Side. Barbara Streisand's head would explode. Hey, thanks, Michael, for continuing to tell the best conservative stories. Back to you, my friend.
Hey, thanks for the report, James.
Savage.
Joining us now is Selwyn Duke with his latest commentary on taxation, debt, and government intrusion. Selwyn, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Great to be with you again. Michael, in this age of Tea Parties, out-of-favor political parties, and out-of-the-closet socialism, many Americans are worried about deficits, taxation, and government intrusion into our lives. In fact, listen to this. A recent CNN poll showed that a majority of Americans consider the federal government a threat to their rights. But you know, despite this, if you talk to the progressives among us, they'll say that what we call movement toward tyranny is really progress. And furthermore, they have no problem taking our money to fund their progress. So we need to defend both our freedoms and our pocketbooks. But how can we do this? Well, first, we have to be able to prove to others that we are, in fact, gravitating toward totalitarianism. We have to be able to show them how freedom can be measured and how we can measure its loss. And we do this with something I'll call the barometer of freedom. And it's simply this: the total number of laws in existence. Remember, a law by definition is the removal of a freedom because it states that there's something you must or must not do. Therefore, the more laws you have, the less free you are from state intrusion. It's a fact. Now, what happens every year in our nation, every year, on the federal level, the state level, the local level? Well, every year we enact more and more laws, but we hardly ever rescind any. And what does this mean? It means that every year we're less and less free.
And this is a phenomenon that transcends president, party, and policy.
It sure is, Michael. But look, the fact is that as sand through an hourglass, our freedoms are being erased. People get upset and say, there ought to be a law. Well, what's the result? Trickle, trickle, another freedom gone. More regulations, another bureaucracy, poof, more freedoms gone. It's a civilizational death by a thousand cuts. Now, we all remember finishing those mathematical progressions in high school, right? 2, 4, 6, 8. Well, take this lawmaking and freedom-taking process to its logical conclusion, and where do you end up? Total government control. So, the question is, how do we avoid this? Well, as for the federal government, I'll mention that if we adhere to the Constitution, we wouldn't have this problem. But since we'll always have people who interpret the Constitution the way a feminist studies professor interprets the Apostle Paul, I have another proposal, and it applies to both the federal and state levels. It's called the Defense Against Tyranny Amendment, and here's how it works. It would place a constitutionally mandated cap on the number of laws, regulations, and mandates that can be created. Now, what the cap would actually be would have to be determined, although I would favor a figure much lower than the total number of laws, regulations, and mandates currently in existence, because this would require lawmakers to finally become law takers, because they would have to strike legislation from the books until they reached the threshold imposed by the amendment. But whatever ceiling we imposed, here's the important thing. Once it was reached, politicians couldn't strip away another freedom without reinstituting an old one, because they couldn't enact a new law without rescinding an old one. and this would ensure that the total amount of freedom, maybe not the type, but the total amount we enjoyed would remain constant and at the level we deem necessary to remain a free people. Now, let's talk about the other half of the equation, protecting our wallets. First, let's think about how tyrannical our tax system is, and I'll put it this way. If a stranger walked up to you and asked you how much money you made, what would you say? Well, if you're like most Americans, you'd say, that's personal, none of your business. But think about it. Strangers working within government ask you not only that every year, but a whole lot more. They want to know how you made your money, your deductions, and a host of other things. And how do we respond? Well, most Americans obediently divulge the information without batting an eye. But does the government really have a moral right to this window and to your personal finances? Does it?
Window? With what I'm paying, it's more like an airplane hangar door.
I'll bet, Michael. But look, then there's the salt thrown into the wound. What's that? Well, after stealing an exorbitant amount of our wealth, Uncle Scam treats our money contemptuously, wasting it on pork barrel projects, using it to buy votes, using it to fund social engineering, and giving it to the left's charities. Then, even worse, our cash is used to oppress us, because it's the lifeblood of bureaucracies that regulate and sue us into oblivion. And I mean entities such as the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, OSHA, the Department of Education, and the IRS. Our money is used to enforce the very unjust laws, regulations, and mandates we're talking about here. So, what's the solution? Well, there's no substitute for a moral-informed electorate, let's face it, but there are steps we can take. So, I'm going to propose a 5-pronged tax plan, and here it is. Number 1, we should have national referenda on all tax increases. Because look, we can complain about the growth of government all we want, but money is again government's lifeblood, and until that supply is controlled, the beast will metastasize like an aggressive cancer. That's why the power to destroy, the power to tax, belongs with those paying the bills, we the people. So, before any proposed tax increase takes effect, it should have to go up for a vote of the people. And only those paying taxes should be allowed to vote, mind you. I'd also prefer that a supermajority of 60% were necessary for a tax increase's passage. But whatever the case, this would place the purse strings in the hands of the people. And where else should they be? It's the people's purses that provide the money, right? Now, number 2. Pass a balanced budget amendment. Remember, limiting taxes is only half the equation, because if our irresponsible politicians can always borrow to buy votes, we'll still bankrupt ourselves. So we should pass an amendment forcing Congress to tie spending to revenue, with the only exception being periods of officially declared war.
Yeah, but we have to make sure the war on drugs and the war on obesity don't count.
Or, Michael, the war on Western civilization, which is constantly being waged. Okay. Now, number 3. Only allow 1 federal tax. And what would this do? It would eliminate all those sneaky hidden taxes. You know, the ones found on plane tickets, phone bills, gasoline, and innumerable other things. Now, politicians love hidden taxes, of course. Why? Because since most people aren't aware of most of them, they enable politicians to fleece us secretly, without angering the voters. So, hidden taxes are tools of deception. Now, of course, the referenda alone would eliminate the secrecy, but the taxes would still hide the true cost of government, so they've got to go. Number 4, make the 1 tax a national sales tax, and limit its rate to 15%, with exemptions for necessities. Why a sales tax? Well, first, it gets the IRS out of the average American's private finances. Also, for people concerned about such things, it's naturally progressive. Rich people who bought more and more expensive items would pay more. And the added bonus is that you wouldn't have to fork over 1 thin dime until you chose to make a purchase. And finally now, number 5, and you'll love this one. Tie politicians' salaries and benefits to fiscal management. This would introduce incentive into the system, and here's how it would work. Politicians' compensation would be fairly low, and it could only be increased by lowering the tax rate from the 15% mark or by realizing a budget surplus. The exact formulas, of course, would have to be worked out. Now, I'd also recommend replication of these proposals on the state level. After all, people can be fleeced there as well. So there it is. Now, I don't claim these proposals would be a cure-all. As I said, there's no substitute for a moral and informed electorate.
Well, thanks for being on the Savage Nation again, Selwyn.
Michael, thank you for having me on your great show again, and God bless everyone in the overtaxed, overregulated, and overdue United States of America.
Let's have a little rock and roll. Play that sound one more time.
Well, I save my pennies and I save my dimes.
It's Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation.
It would be a time. Giddy-up, 409. When I would buy a brand new 409. Giddy-up, 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 409.
Now, if that's not enough for you today on the Savage Nation, you must go to michaelsavage.com.
Savage.